Little Stevens Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
U.S. coalition effort gaining momentum. Ebola death toll rises above 4,000. I'm Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says Islamic State militants are not going to be left unchecked to spread destruction across the Mideast region. Pam Dawkins has our story from the State Department.
Secretary of State John Kerry says there will be setbacks that could allow the Islamic State to make temporary gains in Syria and Iraq.
There will be disappointments. It is just ramping up.
But Kerry says he believes the U.S. and its allies will eventually prevail. Kerry also discussed Turkey's role in the crisis, in particular criticism that Turkey has been slow to provide assistance to efforts to fight the militants, some of them right across its border in neighboring Syria. Pam Dawkins, VOA News, the State Department.
Officials in southern Afghanistan say a suicide bomber has hit a provincial police headquarters, killing one police officer and wounding at least three others. Authorities say the insurgent was dressed in a police uniform when he hit the building today in the provincial capital of Helmand Province. Officials say the bomber detonated his explosives at the entrance to the building. The World Health Organization says the death toll from the Ebola outbreak has risen to more than 4,000 people. The UN agency said Friday that nearly 8,400 cases of the diseases have been recorded in seven countries, with 4,033 people dying from the epidemic. It also said all but nine of the deaths were in the three worst affected countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Eight people died in Nigeria. One patient died in the United States. This is VOA News. Renewed clashes broke out this week in the Central African Republic, resulting in the death of a United Nations peacekeeper in the capital, Bangui. Hillary Hewler reports for VOA.
The United Nations reports that a member of the UN peacekeeping mission in the Central African Republic was killed and several others were wounded on Thursday when a UN convoy was attacked in Bangui. The death was part of an outburst of violence that began Tuesday when a crowd in the capital city killed a man suspected of throwing a grenade. This led to a series of clashes between the country's warring militias, including the Muslim Salaka and the Christian and animist Anti-Balaka. Watchdog group Amnesty International says dozens of people have been killed this week. Hillary Hewler for VOA News, Nairobi.
Chinese Premier Li Keqiang says he is confident of Hong Kong's social stability can be preserved and said China will not match or change its so-called one-country, two-system arrangement for governing the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. While meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Berlin Friday, Mr. Li said Hong Kong's long-term stability must be preserved for the good of Hong Kong's citizens as well as those in mainland China. Thousands of protesters gathered in Hong Kong Friday to renew their calls for electoral reform after government authorities abruptly canceled plans to meet with protest leaders. A powerful and extremely large typhoon is spinning slowly towards Japan's southern islands. Typhoon Vongfang is already bringing heavy rain and strong winds to Okinawa, knocking out power to tens of thousands, disrupting flights and injuring 12 people. Forecasters expect the storm to pass closest to Okinawa late today. The typhoon, which has a perfectly formed eye, has weakened in recent days, but still wind gusts of up to 234 kilometers per hour have been reported. Fengfeng, which means wasp in Cantonese, poses a risk for greater flooding since it is moving slowly at about 10 kilometers per hour. A person said to have access to the secretive regime in North Korea says Kim Jong-un is absent from public events because he injured a leg taking part in a military drill. The explanation came amid heightened speculation that Mr. Kim is in poor health or no longer in control of the nation. The source told Reuters news agency that Kim injured his ankle and knee in late August or early September during a drill. North Korea state media have not mentioned Kim making any public appearances since attending a concert with his wife on September 3rd. Reporting from Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, and this is VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
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 Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
They seek him here. They seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, pursuing all the latest fads and trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
Thinks he is a flower to be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon and his raked up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion.
Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is. There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes, but he's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, in Regent Street and Leicester Square. Everywhere the Carnavician army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
His world is built round discotheques and parties. Pleasure-seeking individual always looks the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
He flips from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the cloth, he is as picky as can be, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
I have just discovered the origin of the regular guy look. For those of you who have recently joined us, I have decided that there are only two things holding back the rock and roll revolution and its inevitable rebirth, its second coming, if you will, hopefully arriving in time to save humanity. And those two things are three-piece bands and the regular guy look. Three-piece bands are simply not musical enough, nor they're all about being musical virtuosos, which is equally irrelevant. And as far as a regular guy look, bands should not look like their audience. That's not their job. It's okay once the audience starts showing up looking like the band. That makes some sense, because that means the band has a look to look like.
Anyway, I am no longer blaming grunge as the downfall of rock fashion. I have discovered the problem goes back much further to something called sumptuary laws. I give you Rome, 100 BC. Laws were passed restricting peasants to one color, officers to two, commanders to three, and the royal household to seven. In Greece, women were restricted to three garments at a time, so they had to go barefoot. In Peru, no gold or silver worn by the working class. In Japan, farmers with an income of less than 100 yen had to wear sandals made of straw, no leather allowed. In China, different lengths of hair were legislated, according to your financial station. In Ireland, scarlet was reserved for noblemen, and Edward III's parliament said noblemen's shoes could be 24 inches, gentlemen 12 inches, and merchants 6.5 inches. Generally, throughout history, the poor weren't allowed to wear any shoes at all. And in the States, in the 1600s, laws were passed forbidding poor people from adopting excessive or fashionable dress. And that is why, as a protest against these elitist, evil, sumptuary laws, no t-shirts or flannel shirts or sneakers should ever be worn on stage again.
Rum, tum, 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 rum, tum, 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 rum, tum, tum, tum.
Thank you. Hey, this is Steve from the Satelliters, and you are listening to Little Steven in the Underground Garage, playing the coolest songs ever made.
Should do like I do. Should go over and buy your own clothes over at Lansky's, somewhere like that. I mean, you know, it's like they say, the clothes make the man. I mean, look at the hat on your head. You're like a mosquito leg chimpanzee. I mean,
tip of the strings of my kite. Judy in the sky, what you aiming for? The second of a horror, yeah. Well, that's what you are. You mean to your laugh about you? I guess I'll just take your glasses.
What are you doing?
Just brushing up on a little dancing, that's all. You wanted me to be a dancer, so I'm just brushing up.
Well, what is this crazy costume you're wearing?
This isn't a costume. This is what all of us cats wear. I got it. I got it. I'm hip, ready to go. I'm gone. Gone.
You're gone, all right.
Started off first set with the Kinks, dedicated follower of fashion. Were they referring to Andrew Lou Goldham? Perhaps. From their third album, arguably their best, The Kink Controversy. Former coolest song with Dress Up Girls. From Model Rockets out of Seattle. That can be found on Coolest Songs in the World Volume 4 on wickedcoolrecords.com. The Beatles dressed Baby in Black. Now, they were the antidote to the regular guy look, weren't they? Very important fashion and the British invasion. Beatles for Sale, for me, arguably their best album. I go back and forth between that and Help, you know, and of course we love Sgt. Pepper and Revolver. All of them, actually. But the fourth album was unique. It's the only album, I think, that had harmony, that Everly Brothers style harmony on every song. It really makes it the most sort of Beatle-y band album, I think, because of that. You know? Beatles for Sale, it was called. We got it in pieces in America.
Gotta Get You Out of My Head, The Satelliters, out of Frankfurt, Germany.
Very cool stuff from their new album, More of the Satelliters. Like their 11th album. And they have not gotten 1 degree more slick than their first album. Which is really cool. Get it from DionysusRecords.com. Judy in Disguise with Glasses. Continuing this absurd set having to do with clothes, sort of. John Fred and his Playboy band. The only reason, this is where things were at in 1968, folks. And I miss it, okay? I'm going to be perfectly honest. Judy in Disguise with Glasses exists only because it was the same, like, syllables as Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That's the last thing they thought about when they wrote it. You know, the rest was like, whatever. And stretching the theme of this particular set to the maximum limit, Lipstick on Your Collar, was the Saints. The Saints covering Connie Francis. We'll be back with the coolest teenage anthem ever.
Music so real,
you can hear it.
VOA Music Mix.
This week, October 12th and 13th, one of the coolest albums ever made was mostly recorded in 2 days. I'm referring to The Who's first album, My Generation, and the title track should be on everybody's coolest songs of all time. But dig this, in 2 days, It's Not True, Legal Matter, Much Too Much, La La Lies, The Good's Gone, The Ox, My Generation and The Kids Are Alright, and 48 Hours. Unbelievable, really. Remains one of the greatest albums of all time. And My Generation, most famous for the line, "Hope I die before I get old," the ultimate expression of disaffected youth. Just fabulous. Of course, now it's sort of symbolic, you know, referring to one's attitude or one's financial status or whatever you want to pick. But at the time, they meant it literally. Let's face it. Which is why it's cool, you know. Other amazing things happened on this one single. An enormous amount of feedback and destruction at the end. Also extremely cool. A bass solo, which I'd never heard one at the time. I'm not sure there was one before this. But the fun part was there were no bass strings, for some reason, at this music store. And he was using a Dan Electro bass at the time. And he kept breaking the strings during the solo. So instead of buying a set of strings, he had to go and buy another bass. So after 3 basses, and he kept breaking the strings, he ended up playing on the Fender Jazz Bass, is what I'm hearing, which sounds just fine. One of those very cool, bright bass tones that began with La Bamba. But let's not digress too much here. Obviously, Pete Townshend intending to write a song that represented the new youth movement in England in 64, turned 65, when he delivered, didn't he? Now, the stuttering bit is interesting because there's all kinds of theories on that. Nobody quite remembers. Some say it was intended to imitate how the mods were speaking while stoned on speed. That sort of rapid, dry-mouthed, horrible feeling that people have told me about. Shel Talmy, the amazing producer who produced all this, remembers it being just an accident. But our crack research team has found this very interesting tidbit here. Keeping in mind, it was recorded midnight, actually, October 13th, 65. We go back to July 31st and a Pete Townshend interview with Disc Magazine. "We'll be cutting the new disc soon, which I expect will be one of my compositions, My Generation. This is July," Pete told Disc. "It's a more up-tempo number, and it talks about old people and young married people." The fellow who's telling the story can't really express himself properly and stutters. In a way, I'm trying to stop the group getting old. It's the one serious thing we're always talking about. So he wrote that in.
Genius that he was and is.
So let's hear some Who.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Take my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say. Trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation. What we all
try
to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation. Cause we could get around.
Things
they do look awful cold.
Hope
I die before I get old.
Chums, it's me, Keith Moon of The Who. Today I shall bring you much more music, much more melody. A few oldies, complete with the wrong dates. The latest recipe from the BBC canteen. Beans on toast, chatter, Monte Carlo. And my guest will be Moira Anderson. Now, I've got to own up. There's none of them things. I was just trying for better listening figures.
Trying to fool the public, but when it comes down to fool-
Hi, ravers in Radioland. This is Eddie Phillips from Creation. You're making time with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Stage, the group get on terribly badly. There's a lot of despite and things which flash around. The singer's a Shepherd's Bush geezer who wants everything to be a big laugh, and when it isn't, you know, he thinks something's going wrong, terribly wrong. The drummer is a sort of completely different person to anyone else I've ever met. The bass player just doesn't seem to be interested in anything, you know, which makes it all very difficult.
Much to bear.
You never think of me always. tears, cry, baby, baby of tears, cause your love's too heavy on me. There was a time I could give all I had to you, but my enthusiasm waned and I can't feel the pain of doing what I don't want to do. Much too bad. Your love is hard and fast. Your love will always last. If it's you I need, I've got to pay the levy. Got to pay, cause your love's too heavy.
Started that set with the coolest teenage anthem ever. My Generation. I don't think that'll ever be beat. And it's from an extraordinary album, The Who's first album. They renamed it The Who Sings My Generation. You know, which, why would that, like, you know? I mean, it was their first album. You know what I'm saying? So they changed it from My Generation in England to The Who Sings My Generation, but nobody ever heard of The Who. You know, the first three singles did nothing here. The first eight singles did nothing here, I don't think. They got some single action on, like, Happy Jack, as I recall, and really I Can See for Miles, you know, which was, third album, you know. So, you know, The Who Sings My Generation, whatever, who cares, right? No pun intended. Anyway, just fabulous stuff. We played a few things from that. Tears of a Clown. The Doughboys. Rockin' Plainfield, New Jersey. They produced it. Smokey Stevie Wonder and Hank Crosby wrote it. Get it from DoughboysNJ.com. Back to The Who for Legal Matter. All of the first album produced by Shel Talmy. Through My Eyes was Creation. A very interesting band. One of the three or four bands that didn't make the trip over during the British invasion, but were extremely important in England. Eddie Phillips, the first guitar player to play with a bow, which would be stolen by Jimmy Page like 2 years later. Through My Eyes was from their first album, We Are Painter Men. The lead singer, Kenny Pickett, used to paint like a mural behind them as they did the show. I don't know, you had to be there. One of the best bands ever, however. And back to The Who's first album from Much Too Much to Bear. Just fantastic stuff. I mean, Pete Townshend's one of those guys, got it right from the start. And of course, one of the greatest bands ever. Hopefully, some of you out there got a chance to see them. With the original band intact. Keith Moon, John Entwistle. But Pete and Roger Daltrey continuing on as they should to keep that music alive. We'll be back with our Freak of the Week, and he could be the freak every week.
People try to put us down,
talking about my generation,
just because we get around,
talking about my generation,
saying they do look awful,
talking about my generation,
hope I die before I get old,
talking about my generation,
my generation,
my generation,
my generation,
my generation,
baby,
my generation,
well, talking about my generation.
Where radio continues to evolve.
And you're part of it.
VOA Music Mix.
Our Freak of the Week is Edward Davis Wood Jr. Born October 10th, 1924 in Poughkeepsie, New York. As a kid, he loved the performing arts, pulp fiction, comic books, but mostly the movies. He would skip school to go to the movies and actually dig the publicity stills out of the theater trash because he collected those things. The story goes that his mother wanted a girl and dressed him in girl's clothes until he was 12. And although it didn't seem to affect him sexually, it reportedly left him with a lifelong love of Angora. He worked as an usher in a theater and had a singing group, that's not funny, called Eddie Wood's Little Splinters. I don't know if it was more doo-woppy or more like the Letterman. But anyway, when he was given his first camera at 17, it focused his life. And from then on, he wanted to be a director. But right then, Pearl Harbor was attacked. And being very patriotic, he joined the Marines and was involved in quite a bit of combat, reportedly, distinguishing himself as a hero, and rumor has it, participating in the Battle of Guadalcanal while wearing a bra and panties under his uniform. This has never been confirmed. After the Marines, he joined a carnival freak show, playing the geek and the bearded lady, and then started making low-budget movies. His hero was Orson Welles, so he wrote, directed, and acted in his own films also. He would write innumerable pulp, crime, horror, and sex novels, which would be his primary source of income, but he would be remembered for his movies. Glenn and Glenda, Bride of the Monster, and especially Plan 9 from Outer Space, widely considered the worst movie ever made. Bela Lugosi would be his go-to actor, as Bela's star faded in his final aging junkie years, and he would become one of Ed's best friends. As creative as his movies were, on no budget, his fundraising would be equally creative. For instance, he convinced the members of the Southern Baptist Church to invest in Plan 9 from Outer Space. The only catch was he had to cast a member of the congregation in a starring role, and the other principal cast members had to be baptized prior to shooting. Our Freak of the Week, Ed Wood.
Woke up this morning with light in my eyes, and then realized it was still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people uptight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. I hope they get home all right. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride? Woke up this morning, I was feeling quite weird. Had flies in my beard, my toothpaste was smeared. Over my window, they'd written my name. Said, so long, we'll see you again. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride? Won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?